Terry Winning said, "What I find interesting about folklore is the dialogue it gives us with storytellers from centuries past." Well, ain't nobody can spin a tale like an Appalachian. I'm Erin.
And I'm Brittany.
And Brooke's not here tonight. But we're just going to keep on trucking. So today, Brittany's back. And Brittany is the Eastern Kentucky ASMR YouTube queen.
Yes. Slow clap.
She blushes. But we talked about that last time you were here about how, you know, you love to do ASMR videos. And, we're not going to talk about that kind of stuff today.
Yep, let's just keep going on with the spooky stuff that's haunted my dreams for the past week.
I think it might have traumatized Britt a little getting ready for this episode.
Way too much overload.
So before we dive into, you know, everything we're going to talk about, I just want to say we're not trying to create like a paranormal experience episode here. Storytelling is an art form that is near and dear to our hearts. So what we want to do here today is we want to share things the way we experience them. We want to share some local lore and as well as discuss how the art form of storytelling has evolved. Because, I mean, in Appalachia, your camera just went kaput.
I got some.
We got a little footage. Proof you were here.
Yeah, it says charge the battery.
Brittany's trying to film and I don't think it's going to happen.
My fault.
But what I'm trying to say is, in Appalachia, storytelling, especially when we were younger, it was like a rite of passage for grandparents to tell you like freaky ass stories and send you to bed.
Oh yeah, my grandma was real good at that. She would have me traumatized for tons of nights and I would spend the night in my mom's bed.
It's so strange, just like back then, it was like fun for adults to just scare the shit out of us.
Oh, and they did. They took it way far, way too far.
These days, you know, everyone's like, "Oh, let's not traumatize the kids. Don't say that. It'll scare the kids." And Lord, why did no one say that?
I don't know. We grew up with anxiety.
I'm real with anxiety.
Yeah, I tried to keep my kids from that. I scared her a little bit, and she had to be put on anxiety medicine already. Sorry.
Sorry about it. Seriously, though, I can remember a story that my grandmother used to tell. And I told it to adult friends now, and it freaked them out, like really freaked them out. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you can imagine being a child, and your grandmother tells you a story about a young boy and a young girl that go missing. No one can find them until they go into the woods, and they can see that something with long claws and sharp teeth have drug them up a tree and ate them.
I swear.
And then you go to bed.
I swear my grandma told me that same damn story.
Really? Yes. I thought she just made that crap up.
No, she told me that same damn story. Creepy ass grandma.
Oh my God, why?
To traumatize the heck out of us.
So bad. So mean. I thought this was like, you know, an original. This is a grandma original, but I guess not.
It must have just been passed around.
I don't know. What's wrong with Appalachia?
I don't know. They got some good ones.
We some scary ass people. Anyway, we're going to talk about some stuff that we've either experienced or people around us have experienced. These are supposedly real places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're real places, but they're supposedly actually haunted places.
Yes.
So I'm going to let Britt start off.
Okay. Well, I was a very sheltered child, so I didn't experience anything. They would put me under a rock, and that's where I stayed. So I heard this from my friend the other day, and she was telling me that this little girl had died. I could never find the cause of her death, but she was very young. She was, I would say she was around 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And they had her in a grave close to their house. And her tombstone glowed. And they tried to debunk it by saying that it was minerals from the tombstone that mixed with the soil.
Yeah.
They would try and say that it was the vehicle that would pass by and it would be the headlight shining on it, or like maybe the post lamp. Do you call it the post lamp? What do you call that?
I don't know.
Light pole, the pole light. What do you call that?
It's a lot. I don't know. We're always just grasping words around here. We don't know.
We don't know what things are called.
suffering along with us. We don't know.
Okay, anyway, they would say that that was shining on it and making it glow. And they would say that it was like kind of like solar powered. The sun would soak it in, yeah. And then at night it would glow. But all of those had been debunked because would go out and it'd be pitch black. And it was under a tree, so not that much light was getting to it anyway from the sun.
Yeah.
And everybody that went by was like, okay, well, we see it glowing. And they would be in a vehicle and the parents would tell them, you know, that it's from the headlights, but from the behind, like the rear view, it would still be glowing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've heard of this. And I remember hearing stories about it when I was a kid and it freaking me out.
I hadn't heard from it. I heard about it besides a week ago. And really? I've tried to look and I couldn't find anything online, really. I've just been hearsay and then topics.
And topics, of course.
Yeah. There was a thread on there and everybody was like, I live, well, not everybody. There was a post on there that someone said that they live close to it. And they would go there in the middle of the night because people would tell them, oh, let's go to this haunted place. I never got to do anything like that because I was also a little scaredy cat. That's me. But they would go there and they would see it glowing, just walking there to see it. And it would still be glowing.
That's insane.
Yeah. I don't think I could handle something like that being close to me. I'd be back in my crap and leaving.
So when you were reading about it, you know, this is a situation where the lore wasn't passed down to you by friends or family. You looked it up.
Yeah. I looked this one up because it was so close to home, Boone's Camp.
Yeah.
And I was raised in Paintsville. Yeah. So it was really close. And I had never heard of it. There's been a lot that I hadn't heard around here. But like I said, sheltered. I was very sheltered.
I was sheltered, extremely, extremely sheltered also. But I guess I had a little rebellious streak. In McGoffin County, there's a place called Booger Hill.
I've never heard of this.
You can't make this up. That's what everyone calls it. I don't know what it's actually called. I don't know if there's a sign anywhere that says Booger Hill. But this place is like, I mean, it's dangerous even if it's not haunted.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of shady stuff happens there, like drug deals and stuff.
Oh.
And I've always heard stories, like crazy stories about the haunting. And a family member, I won't say who because they might be weird about it, told me that, you know, back when they were young, they were kind of wild. And they were there. And they saw something in the bushes, and they didn't know what it was. And Brittany has to drive home alone after recording.
This is going
to
be so
She's not going to like this.
It's already dark out. This is just going to be fabulous.
He said that he could see something crouching, and that it stood, and it was tall, like taller than a man, and covered in hair, but its knees met backwards.
Whoa.
And then just ran through the woods.
What?
And so, you know, I mean, this was a story told to me that could very well not be true, but we're focusing on storytelling. It was some damn good storytelling because it scared me to death.
Yeah.
But I have a personal experience with Booger Hill. Me and my cousin Danielle, we were in high school and we were bored. I was staying over at her house and we were bored. She lived like on the same street where Booger Hill was. So she was like, let's go see our friend. We walked across Booger Hill by ourselves. It was the middle of the day at least, but we did walk it. I didn't see anything paranormal or anything, but it was extremely dangerous and I should not have done it. And by the time we were done, we were at like tip top, which probably means nothing to anyone who doesn't live in McGoffin County, but it's a very, very long way. And it was dark and we were stranded and we like never got anyone to come get us.
Girl, you're brave. Brave.
It's not so much that I'm brave. It's just my friend was convincing.
Oh. That happens when you're young.
I'd be like, are we almost there? Yeah, it's right up here. An hour later.
That sounds like me. I was very naive when I was young.
Yeah, so trusting. And then, you know, like, I thought I got away with it. No one knew. No one knew anything about it. Except for, you know, the people who, like, had to come get our asses. But But it eventually did get back to my family, and I got in so much trouble. It was crazy because, you know, I did come from that sheltered, yeah, you can't do this kind of, yes, family. And when they found out I did something like that, they were ready to kill me.
Oh, yeah. My parents would have locked me in my room and dared me to snore. Sorry. Can't go nowhere. Gotta be as quiet as ever.
It's crazy, though, that where we live, there are so many of these little, like, haunted spots where people will go. Or you, that there's, like, a million stories, mm-hmm, about them, like Frozen.
Oh, yes. That one kind of traumatized me because I figured that one out in elementary school.
Yeah.
And that one scared me to death that something could happen like that.
We've talked about it on the podcast before, but I think it's worth revisiting because, I mean, it's a staple around here.
Yes.
When I was in high school, I didn't know about it until I was in high school because everyone talked about, hey, let's go to Frozen, mm-hmm, you know, because everyone wanted to act tough or whatever. I went during the daytime, and I didn't really see anything, but I just had this strange feeling the whole time I was there, which could have just, mm-hmm, been my brain.
Yeah.
But
even though just having that feeling will...
It's just off feeling. Yeah. Which they've tore a lot of it down. But the most interesting thing to me about Frozen is all of the stories that come with it. I've heard so many stories about what happened there that could totally be wrong because I've heard it so many different ways.
I've only heard the story, well, then again, I've only heard it whenever I was young, that it was flooded and there, yeah, were kids trapped in there and teachers trapped in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that I've really heard. God knows I've never went and visited it.
I did. It was crazy. I saw it before they tore all the buildings down, and it was dangerous. I understand why they did. It was very dangerous because, mm-hmm, there were, like, two-story buildings to where the entire middle of the floor was out.
Oh, yeah.
At the top floor. And then there was one part that was, like, it looked like a well almost, but not covered. Just a hole in the ground.
Oh.
It looked really deep. And it was extremely dangerous, so I don't blame them.
Scary, yeah.
But it is kind of sad at the same time because that was like...
A staple.
Yeah, it was a staple and it was like our childhood, you know?
Yeah.
It was like our thing that we really wanted to see something crazy happen there. Mm. And I never did, but...
At least you got to venture out and look at it.
Yeah. If nothing else, it was quite artful, all the graffiti.
Yeah.
The pentagrams.
Very tasteful.
All the lovely pentagrams painted. Cuss words.
Yeah. If my mom even saw the things that had been painted on there, she'd be like, nope, can't do it. Can't go.
You can go home. I don't care if there's ghosts, no ghosts. This is not child appropriate.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of whenever we were talking about our grandmas, my grandma came up and would always tell us this scary story that would keep me up all night long. Whenever her and my grandpa were dating... There was this one night, he always had to cross this bridge, and he lived, I would say, a good 2 hours walk from where she lived, and yeah, this was Martin County. She said that the next time that he came over that he was terrified to walk home. He made it extremely early in the day, so he wouldn't have to walk home so late because, aww, of this story. Yeah. She said that he had left her house at about 9 o'clock that night, and it was already dark because it was in the winter time, and every time that he would look to his left or right, he would see, like, these big orange eyes staring at him. And he said, she said that it started freaking him out. At first, he just thought it was like lights that he was just noticing,
yeah,
more and more. But he started walking and walking, and he would see it every time he'd look left and right. And then he got close to the bridge that was pretty much right next to his house. And this big, huge snake was the length probably of the road, just like its tail, and it raised up. And it was like eye level with him.
Jesus.
And it just kept going back and forth to each side of the road. And its eyes never left my grandpa.
Oh, my God.
And he said that he just started for the bridge, that he never went that late again because he was so terrified that night.
That's why he didn't look back either.
Yeah. He just kept running, she says.
I would have. actually, quite honestly, in my head, in these scenarios, I'm a badass.
Not me.
But in reality, I would probably just, like, die of fright there.
Oh, yeah, I'm a wuss. I'm a big wuss.
That reminds me of, this didn't happen to me directly, but it's, and I can't remember if I've ever shared it on the podcast before or not, but even if I have, I think it's worth revisiting. So my my sister and my cousin, we had a relative who lived to be up into well into her 90s, and she'd seen a lot of things, and she told the best stories. She really did. So she lived across this large, big field across from our grandmother, the same grandmother who told us, you know, the bloody tree story.
Oh yeah,
she told a lot more stories than that one, but that one was the doozy.
Mm-hmm.
But this relative, she was like my great great aunt, and her name was Bessie, and she was like a pinnacle of Appalachian culture. She quilted, she cooked. She, for a long time, her sister didn't have running water in her house.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, that's just the people they were.
Mm-hmm.
She loved to tell us stories, and she loved to tell us scary stories. In this particular night, I wasn't there, but my cousin and sister were, and they were thinking about staying all night, but I think that, family was like, no, you can't stay. You got to come home. So at night, they had to walk back across that big bottom, that big field after the story. And the gist of it was she was telling them all these crazy, scary stories about things that had supposedly happened to people. But she told them one in particular about something that I don't even remember the plot, but I do remember this. It had eyes as big as wagon wheels.
Wow.
That's the way she told it. Scared them so bad that they ran through that bottom. And I mean, it was a long way. It was actually a pretty long way. And nowadays, no one would let their kids walk it in the dark like that.
How are they so good at telling stories? I feel like I say and a lot of time in a story. And they can just let it flow and scare the snot out of you.
Brooke had someone tell, we did one of these story time top. Shit, I can't talk. We did one of these folklore podcast episodes before, and Brooke said people told her that she sounded like Drunk History trying to tell her story.
Aww. Poor Brooke.
That's funny. Bless her heart. She's not a pothead, I promise, and she's not a drunk, I promise. She gets accused of it a lot, though, with her storytelling. She's going to hit me.
She'll listen and she'll be like, I'm going to kill her.
Like, they're sitting in my business saying mean things about me. Anyway, I think it's really interesting, though, that storytelling, it's always going to be around in some way or another. You know, people make storytime videos on YouTube. There's lots and lots of ways that storytelling is staying alive. But one of the most interesting to me, personally, is the creepypasta.
Girl, you got me sucked in.
I'm obsessed with them. I really am.
Yeah, you made me binge all week. That's why I'm having nightmares, girl.
It really is unhealthy. Like, when I discovered creepypastas, I did the same thing. I, like, hardcore binged. And there are people who narrate them on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be at work just building ads, listening to stories about people getting chopped up, you know.
Well, I was watching my children and had to make sure that I'd pause it so they wouldn't come in here and listen to all the crazy stuff that I was listening to. Yeah, I'd be like, y'all having fun in there? Okay, play.
Yeah, it would scar up for life, some of that stuff. It scarred me for a while because, like, there was, like, a period of time when I was terrified to drive by myself at night because I'd overloaded.
Yeah.
I'd overloaded
my mind. Even want to hear it. I'm driving home tonight.
Too bad. We gonna dive in here in just a second. The thing I find the most interesting, though, before we get into some of our favorites and all that stuff, I think it's interesting because it's so varied. Because they're like stories that they call shit pastas. They're like D-real horror movies. Yeah. They're so bad. So bad. And then there's some of, like, you know, actual writers, you know, write a really creepy story and just throw it out there.
Oh, yeah, and they'll suck you in, too.
And they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, No End House.
Oh man. Mm-hmm. That one's good.
That one's really good.
That one got me. It real was, good.
Oh, God. And there's more than one of it. I've not listened to, or I say listen to, because that's usually the way I take them in, because I'm a busy person.
Yeah, same.
But I've not listened to all of them. I've listened to some of them. They're all equally creepy.
Yes. I've only listened to one because I was trying to get a wide variety.
Yeah.
That one was, yeah, it was pretty deep and dark.
Very dark.
Yes.
The first one that I ever read / listened to that really messed with me was the Russian sleep experiment.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, it's girl.
Intense.
I shouldn't have listened to that one when I did because it was dark outside when I listened to that one.
Just to be clear, when we were talking about this episode and I was recommending stuff to Brit, I did say,
yes,
it's intense.
You did warn me.
I warned her.
I didn't think it would haunt me that bad.
Because this kind of storytelling is on a whole nother level because they don't have to conform to anything.
Mm-mm.
They can talk about the darkest subject matter that they can possibly think of.
And the way they say it, they're so slow and just suck you straight into their voice.
Yeah.
It's like you just can't stop listening.
For real. Especially when you've got someone in a narration video who's really good.
Oh, yeah. And that's all I listened to. I didn't read any of them because, like you said, I'm also busy all the time. And I've got kids that I just have to constantly monitor, you know, while listening
to these scary things. You've got to keep tiny people alive.
Yes.
It's a very important job.
Make sure they're not hurting themselves or anything while I'm listening to something scary over here in the corner.
You're hurting your own brain.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. What's some of your favorites?
Candle Cove is my favorite.
Candle Cove is probably my favorite all time.
Yeah.
It really is.
That one, oh, man, that one, like, really got to me because I never thought that more than one person would be so into a show when they were young and then...
Yeah.
Boom.
And okay, so this one, we need to talk about this one.
Yes.
So, spoiler alert.
We will be talking very in depth
about this particular one because it's great. It was written so well.
Yes.
It was written by an actual writer.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in the format of a chat log.
Yes.
And these people start recounting this weird show that they watched when they were kids.
Mm-hmm. They kind of did it like on topics.
Yeah.
Like it was a topic.
Yeah. It was probably more like a forum than a chat log.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because as the story progresses, the stuff gets weirder. I mean, they realize they're not talking about episodes. They're talking about things that were inside their head.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you tell the ending.
Okay. So it's based in Ohio, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in like 71 or 72, I think that's what they said. Because I have my little notes right here. I was really prepared for this one.
That's important.
They were all puppets. And they were like played with by wire or string, I think.
Yeah.
And there was a pirate Percy, and they said that he was just like a disembodied, I mean, he's like from all different like dolls. Just arms of different types of dolls. And then there was the ship called the Laughing Stock.
Yeah.
And it was just a ship that had the bow, the front of it?
Yeah.
Just its face and a wide open mouth. And there's the little girl named Janice. And they all looked creepy on the one that I watched.
Because people make fan videos of it. They're good, too.
Yes, they are. And supposedly, the boat would always say, "You have to go inside." And that kind of scared the snot out of me.
As a kid, that would have traumatized
me. Yeah, I would have been in bad shape. Their villain was... the Skin Taker.
Yeah. But not the Skin Taker on TV.
Yeah.
Just in their heads.
Yeah.
He had a different name supposedly on the show. Oh. I don't remember what it was.
Harris Horrible, I think.
I think that's the same character.
No, they were two different characters. They thought Harris Horrible was a villain, but
I'll tell you what's happened. I really love Channel Zero. And Channel Zero's first season was Candle Cove.
You should have told me this.
It's so,
so they were weird. The same?
In the show, they were, spoiler alert, they were the same. It was like in their head, he was a different character.
Oh, so maybe that's what's happening.
And I might have just ruined it for you.
No. I just want to keep learning about this one because I really like this one.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And just I want to take a second to talk about that show because... It's made so well. It's the same creator as the show Hannibal.
Mm.
And his horror vision is just too dark for TV. And I think they're trying to kill Channel Zero off now because it's going to be only on the Sci-Fi app instead of actually airing. But it's an anthology series, and each Each season is based off of a different creepypasta.
Oh, okay. And the first one is to watch this.
The first one's Candle Cove. The second one is No Wind House.
You should have told me. And then I would have went and watched it because Candle Cove was awesome.
Just that gives you something to look forward to. And something to come back and talk about.
Yeah, I'm not watching it tonight, though.
I wouldn't. But just fair warning, the first season, if you're like me and you're sensitive to anything that happens to children, like bullying or abuse or anything like that, there's not like abuse, but there is a storyline of really intense bullying that bothered me.
Mm.
It did bother me when I watched it, but it's worth watching because that's needed to understand what's happening. But it's really good. You should go watch it.
I'll go watch it.
Go binge watch it tonight. Just don't go to sleep.
Yeah. Stay up all night.
You ain't got no responsibilities.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
And your kids be like, Mommy, what's wrong?
I'd be like, go back to bed.
But Candle Cove, the story, what's the most chilling about all of it is that ending.
Yeah, it was. The mom said that it was crazy. After the news, you would want to turn it, and it would just be a fuzzy screen, and you would just stare at it.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. And that all the kids were okay with it. They were all thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah, they were all watching at the same time.
Yeah.
This is oddly something really common in creepypastas, and it makes sense. Because, you know, our childhood fears stay with us our whole lives.
Yeah.
But something I've noticed that's very, very common in creepypastas is the childhood ruined type things.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was a weird little TV show that only happened in this city and this date and all that stuff. One of the craziest ones was 1999.
I'm so glad I didn't.
It's so intense. Nope. And it's so intense that I'm not going to discuss the subject matter in depth on this podcast because it's intense and I just don't want to subject, you know, listeners to that if they can't handle it. But if you're like me and you can't stop, you can't turn it off, you don't want this knowledge, you don't want this image in your head, but you can't stop.
I'm sure I'll end up listening to it.
It's really intense and it's very violent towards children, just fair warning.
Ugh.
But it is really, really creepy because it's basically some crazy, crazy, scary person is broadcasting stuff on and presenting it as children's shows.
Oh, no.
And it's so terrifying.
Oh, no, no. Yep. I'm just going to take the TV out of my house.
Big old bag of nope.
Yeah, nope, can't do that.
I wanted us to really be able to talk about Appalachian-centric creepypastas. But, Carl, there's not really any except for Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
Yeah, that's the only one that I found.
Random people writing stories about, oh, we went on the Appalachian Trail and some crazy guy caught after us. That's really all
there is. Yeah, that's the only one that I found. And I wasn't too impressed.
No, they're not good.
Yeah, I wasn't sucked into those. I was trying real hard too.
Yeah,
it's nothing like a grandma story.
Absolutely. Listen, Appalachian grandmas can scare the piss out of you.
They can.
They know what they're doing.
They are good. Man,
I'm still traumatized by some of that crap.
Yeah. I wish that she was here so I could tell my children exactly how she told me.
Oh, gosh.
I'd be like, here, come on. Spoil my kids like you did me.
I don't know if I would want to subject a kid to some of the stuff my grandmother told us. God have mercy.
If they spent the night anywhere near her, she'd just end up telling them. It'd just be there.
It's a rite of passage.
Yep.
It's got to happen. Just let it happen. It's fine.
She'd be like, I did it to your mom and you. What's the difference? No difference.
You turned out fine. Yeah,
that's their way of saying anything. I did it to you. You turned out fine. Thanks.
As you take like
anxiety pills,
anxiety medicine.
Yeah,
beer chaser.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
It's okay.
Okay, so for the month of October, we have every episode at the end, we've talked about a horror icon of the week, and you can't talk about creepypastas and not talk about Slenderman.
Oh yeah, he's a real good one. He's nightmares of a way back.
Nightmare fuel. And in our third episode, no, second episode, I believe it was. It was our second episode ever. We talked about folklore, as Brittany creepily turned the page.
Notes.
And I shared an experience that I had, and I did have it. I experienced this. I saw it. I can't explain it. I saw something standing in my bathroom that looked exactly like the Slenderman.
That's a big note for me.
It was terrifying, and my sister saw it too, and it scared the crap out of us.
It happened.
But interestingly enough, the Slenderman phenomenon began with a Photoshop contest in a forum.
Yeah.
Like, create a monster. And those pictures were creepy. They were very creepy.
I don't even know how you would think of something like that. Yeah. But I saw that some guy, I saw that it was supposedly first documented in like 9000 BC in like Egyptian things.
I think it's meant to be a play on the tall man.
Yeah. I think that's what I read.
It just seems like it's basically the same thing, and they just were like, we're going to call it this, and make it a little creepier. But the tall man lore is that, you know, he shows up and steals children, more or less.
And then it evolved into Slenderman.
Yeah, and Slenderman is like, he's a slow burn.
Mm.
He comes for you slowly.
Yeah. Don't even.
And for the record, our good friend Wisey's in the room. You've seen him in our videos. He loves Slenderman.
Oh, yeah.
We've gone for walks, and then it starts to get dark, and I'll be like, let's hurry and get home so Slenderman don't get us. And we start walking really fast. But he's a slow burn, and when I say that, I mean he doesn't just come for you. He infects your mind.
Yeah.
And slowly drives you to madness before he gets you.
Just the thought of something taking over your mind just sends chills down my spine. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't handle, like, having something repeatedly in my head.
Just an obsession.
Yeah.
And I know I talked about this before, but whenever that game, Slender the Eight Pages, came out, I wasn't prepared.
I was not prepared.
For what I experienced.
I'm a big scaredy cat. I love a good movie that's scary, but once it's dark outside, no ma'am. Nope.
I'm the same way though.
I'm like, hey, come hug me. Just hold me till I go to sleep.
I love horror until it feels real. Yeah. I feel like my actions are involved in any way.
Yeah.
I can't play horror games.
Mm-mm.
I want to, but I can't.
I can't.
I get too scared.
I couldn't do real life.
No, I'm not. Like, I can watch the most hyper realistic, like, horror movies where people are getting their faces ripped off and it not faze me. But go to the worst thrown together haunted house, which is like flashing lights and fake blood, and be terrified.
Yeah, I can't do it. It's just something about being in the situation that really gets
different.
Me.
Yes. It's different. And it's probably just, you know, some young kid with like
younger than us,
with like acne on their face and like, you know, just a little mask on, and they're scared too. And but I'm terrified.
Yeah. No, I can't do it.
It's really sad, and you know, not related, but still funny. I can remember having a conversation with a friend in high school talking about scary movies. And they mentioned something about how, I think it might have been one of those Faces of Death things. They're like, they kill a chicken in it. I was like, oh my God, I can't watch that. I would cry. And they're like, okay, so you can watch people be mowed down, but you can't watch a chicken die. I was like, no.
I can't handle gore. I can handle, like, things popping out at you, but gore is just a no for me.
I like gore.
I don't. I can't do gore. We were trying to watch Saw, and I was like, nope, done. I'm done.
Okay, yeah. Well, Saw's a little different. gotcha. I like gore, but when I watch the Saw movies, I just imagine the pain. Everything looks so painful.
That I relate it to myself, I think. And I'm like, nope, can't do it. Nope.
Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff in Saw is so intense. But, I mean, it got to where I stopped watching them because it was just overkill.
Mm. Those are my husband's favorites, and I'm like, no, keep them for yourself.
His favorite movies are Saw.
His favorite scary
movie.
I should have clarified.
Okay.
Yeah, those are his favorite scary movies.
That should be a prereq when you meet someone and you say, what's your favorite movie? Not scary movie, and they say Saw, you feel like, okay, bye.
Okay, it was so nice to meet you, but I gotta go.
But I thought it was interesting that they recently made a Slenderman movie this year.
This year they did?
Yeah, they did. I don't think it did so well.
Well, people were too scared to go watch it.
And honestly, personally, I think the biggest reason is because they waited too long.
Yeah. It's been out for a while.
Slenderman has. They waited till, you know, the hype died down. And I hate to say it, but, you know, there was that whole attempted murder news story mm-hmm. that made actual news about those two young girls who tried to kill their friend to please Slenderman.
Yeah, that was really creepy to me. Things like anything with children.
Yeah.
Like, really freaked me out.
Yeah.
Because they're so impressionable. And
that's really true.
Yeah.
They believed it. Mm-hmm. They believed that it was real. And I'm sure there may have been another element to it, like mental illness or anything. And I don't want to make light of what they did. It was awful. It was really awful. But, you know, around that time was the time to make a Slender Man movie.
Yeah, that's when they should have really put forth the effort for that. That's probably when they got the idea, though.
Yeah, and I mean, they probably should put a little bit of distance so mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like they're just, you know, trying to cash in on a tragedy. But that's when people were obsessed with Slender Man. And there were fan-made movies, mm-hmm. and there was stuff like Marble Hornets. It was a YouTube channel that wasn't Slender Man, but it was.
Yeah.
And there have been, you know, people who crowdfunded and tried to make Slender Man movie and stuff like that. But, you know, a major studio finally decided to make one.
And too late.
And it didn't do well. And I don't think that it was made well. I've not watched it.
That's what I was going to ask. Have you watched
it? I've not watched it yet. I'm a little on the fence, to tell you the truth. Not even if I even want to at this point.
To be honest, I didn't even know there was one. Was it, like, highly promoted?
I don't really know because I don't watch television anymore.
I watch YouTube.
YouTube stream everything that I watch. I don't watch regular TV.
Yeah, same.
It was to me because I watch a lot of horror content on YouTube and I get those specific
commercials. I watch a lot of food content.
Mukbang queen.
Yeah. I watch a lot of food.
Me over here, gore queen. But, I mean, I knew about it, but I've heard it was trash. I don't know.
Well, if it is, then I'll probably watch it. I watch a lot of trash.
I mean, I do too. I'm not going to act like I'm some movie connoisseur, because we all know I've only ever watched Art School Confidential. It's the only movie I've ever seen.
That's wild to me.
Plot twist. I haven't watched that one either.
Oh.
I'm just pretending.
Dun, dun, dun.
What do you think is the scariest part of Slender Man?
Besides he doesn't have a face.
Seriously.
I mean, that's pretty freaky. And tentacles. Tentacles and no face. Just the thought of that standing somewhere close to you.
Yeah.
And without you knowing. You don't really know that he's there. Yeah,
it's the unknown thing that's scariest about.
And when you take a picture is when you see him. That's
terrifying.
Can't. Nope. I'm a bunch of nope in this one.
Nope. Nope. Yeah. And to me, the scariest thing was, you know, after playing Slender the Eight Pages, that game does a really good job of making you feel helpless. And it's not, like, graphically intense. Mm-hmm. It's, like, kind of shitty, really. It's just, like, it looks like it was made, like, in 99.
Oh.
Like, square edges and stuff instead of round. But it's just the feeling. And you know he's coming for you. Mm-hmm. And you can't stop. There's no changing anything. If you don't pick up that first page, nothing happens. As soon as you pick up a page off the tree, Slender Man starts to come for you.
Whew.
There's no winning. You can't win that game.
Oh, wow.
Can you? Yeah. Me and the producer are having an argument. Give me a second, folks. Okay, so producer says you can win. You just got to friggin' run.
The opposite direction.
Keep running. Sounds like a good plan just in life.
Yeah.
Creepy guy just behind you, just run.
Yeah, I ain't turning around. No way.
Screw that. Well, there you have it. Some of the most terrifying stories can come from our own hometowns or our own minds. Thank you so much for joining us today, Britt.
I had a great time, as always.
Or I should say, joining me today.
Well, it's been fabulous, Erin.
It's been fabulous. Talking about all this scary stuff. You can drive home.
It's going to be so fun. Great time.
You're going to be driving home. God, I hate her.
I'm going to call my mom and be like, hey, mom. You're going to keep me company, okay?
I'm just calling because I love you.
Yeah. Just keep talking. Don't stop.
So, everyone, just be sure to go to Brittany's YouTube channel. Subscribe.
Yeah.
Hit the bell.
Make sure, because please. I'm gonna definitely upload what we've just recorded.
Yeah.
Even though it was a small tidbit.
The camera just quit. It just stopped. It refused.
It's a little dead.
It knew what we were gonna talk about and it didn't want no part of it.
Yeah, it didn't want me to relive this.
That's what it is. That's what it is. But if you do subscribe to her channel, please make sure that you hit the bell.
Yes. Because so you get notified.
You'll get a notification every time she uploads. Mm-hmm. And it works sometimes.
Sometimes.
And while you're at it, go subscribe to the Weird Appalachia YouTube channel.
They make great
we're there.
Content.
I mean, we're making stuff. Yeah. We're there.
And it's good.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Coming from you, girl. Beware of the skin taker and stay weird.